You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, we've got a couple of games on the board. In fact, we've got a college football game on the board. It kicks off in about 30 minutes at time. And don't we all wish we were at the game, not because who's playing in the game, but because it just sounds warm. The Miami Beach Bowl. So the Miami Beach Bowl. I expect the Miami Beach Bowl, which is taking place at Marlins Stadium where the Miami Marlins play. I think it's going to be a lot like a Marlins game. The stands will be empty. But nevertheless, we're going to break it down. My Central Michigan Chippewas are throwing it down against the Tulsa. And I've told you guys in the past, Central Michigan have been like a friend of mine over the years. Whenever I've had troubles, who could I count on? My friends in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. That's who I could count on, Central Michigan. As the Central Michigan's come through for me time and time and time and time and time again over the years, so much so that, you know, they're almost part of the Morenci family right now. I'm a Michigan guy, but the Chips, they're our little brothers. Like, you know, we stand up for the Chips in Ann Arbor, but I'm also, I'm also not an idiot, but that's not true. I am an idiot. That's not true. But I am aware. it's like Seinfeld. We give you the job, but of course you are aware. I am aware that the Central Michigan Chippewas, they've been money burners down the stretch, man. I think they're like 2-7 of their last 9 games against the number. So as much as I love them, they're in a lot of trouble today against the Tulsa team. It's probably going to kick the snot out of them. But we'll break it down with Steve Merrill. I'll give you some picks for this game. I got a ton of props for tonight. And speaking of props and fantasy, they coincide. The Tony Sincotta is going to join us. Tony Sincotta is going to step up and then kick it with us. We'll take a look at tonight's Monday Nighter with Merrill, too, and Sincotta. Redskins and Panthers on the board this evening. Everybody's right in the window, man. Everyone's betting on the Washington Redskins in this spot. I like the Skins, but I got a couple of props for you. I think I'm going to surprise you with some of my prop plays tonight. All right, they were surprised in Houston how bad Brock Osweiler was. El Terriblo's no more, man. El Terriblo gets sat down. Now, they don't know. O'Brien's not saying who's going to start on Christmas Eve against the Bengals. Just that word just gets me, man. Bengals. I like the Texans in that game, right? I don't care if, like, Pee Wee Herman was the starting quarterback. Yeah, I'd take the Texans against the Bengals, even if it was Brock Osweiler. But, you know, we're going to break that down with Jason Braddock from Houston, Texas. This guy, he's on the Texans beat, man. Our favorite Texan, Jason Braddock, steps up and in from Houston, Texas. So, Bengals. I think I might end up in an insane asylum because of the Cincinnati Bengals, which leads us into who ruined your Sunday? Well, who the hell do you think ruined my Sunday? Like, really? I don't even know why I bother anymore coming up with new material. And to be honest, I'm running out of ways to rip the Dolphins, the Bengals. I really am. Yeah, the Dolphins are another story. We'll get to Jay Ajayi. I don't like him very much either, but I don't really know if it's his fault or the jackass coach's fault, but I digress. But I'm running out of ways to rip the Bengals. I really am. Like, why don't we just replay the damn video over and over every week? I mean, just talking about, Andy Dalton ruining my Sunday. But why would I think? Why and, like, what reason? Like, what sane person would actually think that the Cincinnati Bengals were a good play yesterday at plus 3 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Well, I did. Like, what, you know, what kind of person would think that? I'll tell you what kind of person. A very stupid person. A very, very stupid person. Probably a very slow, dim-witted, middle-aged, bald man would come up with something like that. I have a lot of things in common with George Costanza. Like, I really do. He's like the king of the idiots. Not I am the king of the idiots. All right. And like to call, you know, myself a man when I said what kind of man would make this decision, that's a stretch. Like, you know, like Costanza said, you know, real men have jobs. They have suits. They have offices. They're married. They have mortgages. They have secretaries. I've got like a pack of zigzags, $135, tens of thousands of dollars of debt. The only time anybody ever calls me is if they need their money, or, oh yeah, by the way, somebody close to you is in the hospital. Other than that, my phone really doesn't ring all that much. So, you know, that's why I thought it was a good idea to bet on the Cincinnati Bengals, because I'm a freaking idiot. That's why. Yet, just to tease me, just ultimately tease me, I was doing the Barry Horowitz. You know what, Morency? All those times the Bengals screwed you, today's going to be different. What a play. Nobody saw this coming, but you did. But you know what else I saw coming? The Cincinnati Bengals choke job. The meltdown. Like, honestly, let's think about this. It's like, you know, Little Dink the Clown. Remember Little Dink? You know, Doink was one of my favorite wrestlers. Remember Dink? It's like betting on Dink to beat Big John Studd. You know, we'll put it in wrestling terms. It's like saying, you know what, boy, you know what? I really think they're going to push Iron Mike Sharp this year, guys. I think, you know, he might be the main event of WrestleMania. I might as well bet. I'm like Krusty the Clown. I might as well just bet on the Washington Generals, where they tease you. Oh, boy, the Generals are looking good in the first half. They're really giving the Trotters all they can handle tonight. You know, everything was going good. Now, the fact of the matter is Andy Dalton's a moron, all right? The guy's an idiot. He might have $120 million. Go, I hope you're happy when you sleep on your big stacks of money, you big loser. But the fact of the matter is, what can you say about him? He's Richie Cunningham. That's who he is. He's Richie Cunningham. Big Ben Roethlisberger's like the Fonz. Hey, I'm cool. A couple of Super Bowl rings. You know, Andy Dalton. What is Andy Dalton? The only ring Andy Dalton's ever to get is from a freaking Cracker Jack box. But we can't just blame Andy Dalton, all right? How about Jeremy Hill? Mr. Mediocrity. Jeremy freaking Hill. I lost thousands of dollars playing fantasy football this year because of your sorry ass, Jeremy. And there you are desecrating the terrible towel. I guess it's fitting you desecrate a terrible towel because you're terrible. Your nickname should be Terrible Hill. You know, all you do, every game, 18 carries, 48 yards, and a freaking touchdown. You get every opportunity to rack up points. You know, so what do? You desecrate the towel. I think you guys had 37 yards after you did that. That was a brilliant freaking move. They're like, you know, you guys are a bunch of rocket scientists, aren't you? You got Pac-Man Jones, Vontaze Perfect. You know, nothing but like, you know, real, real high IQ guys in that room. No wonder you haven't won a playoff game in for freaking ever, because you suck, all right? And it doesn't end there. Like Marvin Lewis, I'm starting to think that Mike Tomlin, I like Mike Tomlin, but you know, I don't want to speak for him, but I'm starting to think that he doesn't care much for the Black Lives Matters movement, because you know what? He's freaking murdered Marvin Lewis over and over. You're going to cost this guy a job, man. Like, at one point, do you feel sorry for him? Oh, man, yeah, I'm really beating this dude up all the time. Like, it's not even fair. Like, it's like the Bengals are Charlie Brown, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are Lucy. They just pull the ball out, and the Bengals couldn't even get the damn cover. Couldn't even get the damn cover. It's 3 points. You ruined my Sunday again. But that's it. That's it, all right? I'd rather drink freaking motor oil, all right? Or I'd rather drink Diet Pepsi than ever bet on the Cincinnati Bengals again. I don't care if it's Brock Osweiler. I don't care if it's the one-armed man from the freaking fugitive at quarterback this week. I'm taking the Houston Texans. Why? Because they're playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. You've ruined my Sunday for the last time ever. And seriously, if I ever give you guys the Cincinnati Bengals as a pick ever again, feel free to spit on me on the street. Just walk up to me and spit on me. Throw rocks at me. Hell, pull an R. Kelly, whip it out, and take a leak on me. Why? Because I deserve it. You ruined my Sunday for the last time. Who's next? Oh, yeah, Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm in a $3,600 fantasy football league, and my opponent's got Drew Brees. All right, Drew Brees is going to throw a couple of touchdown passes. How many touchdown passes did he throw? 6, 7, 8? He threw more touchdown passes than the fat guy ate Twix on that episode of Seinfeld. Twix! Twix! They were all Twix! You all suck! You are, like, sir, the Cardinal, you guys are real stupid earpiece, too. This is ruining my Monday. Oh, yeah. I don't want to rip on the Detroit Lions too much, all right? Lions have been pretty good to me. And the Lions, like I said, they're the poor white trash cousin of the Buffalo Bills. You know, we both suck. Even if we won a lottery ticket, we'd lose it or squander it. You know, marry some chick named Betsy Ann or something like that. Here are the Detroit Lions on the verge of something special. And then they hand the ball off to Zach Zenner. Zach Zenner, who are you, an American gladiator or a gay male porn actor? Great name, Zach. Never give the ball to a white running back, all right? Lesson learned right there. Stafford throws an interception. And that was real good at the end. All right, well, we're out of here because, you know what? I'm like Blac Chyna and my money. It's done. It's gone. Serenity now, insanity later. Game Time Decisions continues. All right, Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I didn't even get to the fact that I had the over in that Dallas-Tampa game last night. That screwed me over. Long list of fantasy names here, too. But you know, we've got to take a different approach to this. Like, these who ruined your Sunday things are really... I've been doing this, like, 15 years, man. Like, nothing really, just my head's about to explode. I think maybe next week I'll do it sitting down. We got, like, a stool. And, like, I got to do, like Marco Rubio. I'll just take sips of water. Like, I'll take a break because I had a couple other people I wanted to rip. But nevertheless, we got a college football game set to kick off in a couple of minutes. And who better to break it down with us than Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Anybody ruin your Sunday, Steve?
NFL ruined it again in general, I guess. Yeah. Actually, Virginia Commonwealth ruined it on Saturday. Instead of a 2-1 day, went 1-2. I put them out at -3.5. Went to -4 after I released it. And they missed a free throw at the first end of a 1-1, or two free throws. They missed the first one, made the second one, won by 3, had a 5-point lead with like 13 seconds to go. So, you know, that's college hoops. Not a lot of people following it right now, but that's actually probably what ruined my Saturday, I guess.
You know, it's funny, Steve. It's true with the NFL, too. I was thinking about, I have a long list of players and this guy and that guy. But ultimately, I'm just beaten down. I'm like, you know what? Lord Gambler ruined my Sunday. Like, wait. You know, what can you do? Like the NFL. I'm looking forward to the playoffs getting here. It's weird, Steve. It's been a weird year, man. I'm plus units, but I'm not a happy camper this year, man. I don't know. Maybe there was a higher bar of excellence that I was used to or something, but it's been a frustrating 2016, Steve. I can't lie.
What's interesting to me, too, is we have more parity than ever. You know, I mean, this looks like the most paired NFL season ever. The Patriots are the favorite to win the Super Bowl, but even they're not really a dominant team either. So with all these mediocre teams this year, we're probably going to have our second winless 0-16 team in history, and it's happened with the Lions and now the Browns within a couple seasons. So it's ironic that when we have more parity, more 8-8 teams than ever, that we have the two worst teams technically ever in football as well.
You know, Steve, and also at this time of the year, you talk about the parity. There's an unpredictability factor as well in the no-logic league that is the NFL. In which, you know, look at yesterday, the Bears and the Packers. Coldest conditions ever, coldest conditions ever and all this type of stuff. Oh, it's going to be hard to move the football. Game sails over the number. And then you got the Raiders and the Chargers, which is big fantasy. You know, oh, Derek Carr is going to light it up. Oh, yeah, Amari Cooper did nothing for me. And I expected it, actually. That's what's weird. Because I had people ask me, Marenzi, I love the over in the Chargers-Raider game. I told them, be careful, it's a trap. These division games are weird late in the year. So I see these things, Steve, and that's what makes me mad. I should be rich. Like, I'm right all the time, but somehow my bank account is wrong all the time.
Yeah, the divisional games are crazy. If you go through history, like, you know, recent years, and you look at the two meetings, you'll have a real high-scoring one, and then you'll have a real low-scoring one in the rematch. Those were actually the two totals I liked yesterday, the two I was close to using. I didn't use any totals, but I was looking at the over in the Raiders game, and I was also looking at the over in the Saints-Cardinals game, which had over 80 points scored, so... I would have gone 1-1 with those two. But, yeah, I think the divisional game did play an impact in that Raider game being lower scoring, even though the weather conditions were really good.
All right. What time is it right now? How do we not have a clock?
All right. 2:17 Eastern. We got about 13 minutes till kickoff.
All right. So let's hit the college game, and we'll jump back to the NFL.
Yep.
All right. So we got the Miami Beach Bowl, Steve. Like I said off the top of the program, it's going to be like a Marlins game at Marlins Park. There'll be nobody in the stands. There'll be more people at this game than the average Marlins game, though.
Yeah, which isn't saying much, obviously, as you know. And they sneak this in at 2:30 Eastern on Monday afternoon. They do this every year because they don't want to go head-to-head with the ESPN game tonight because ESPN has both games, of course, with the Monday Night Football game and this one. I did not have a play on this game for my clients today, but I would probably lean towards Central Michigan as the double-digit dog. Just blindly playing double-digit dogs have been profitable in these minor bowl games. And if you look at the statistics, Central Michigan, a very mediocre team on both sides of the ball. Tulsa, a very good offense, but a mediocre defense. My power ratings made the game 11. It's currently 13.5. It never hit that key number of 14. It actually went down to 13 earlier today. Now it's back to 13.5. If you can get 14 or more by kickoff, I would lean Central Michigan. But either way, I think the value is probably with the big dog. You know, this is another one of those meaningless bowl games. You never want to be laying big numbers in these types of matchups.
I agree with you, but let me play devil's advocate. But you're right about that. It was sort of back and forth, though, with the dogs and the favorites the other day. But you're right. With the big numbers, and I was thinking about it too, Steve, with the early bowl games, you have the, you know, the worst teams playing. Or, you know, not the worst, but generally, you know, pretty evenly matched 6-6 style teams. So why would you want to be laying points in what games are going to be, you know, seemingly be toss-ups? But let me go over some numbers here, Steve. Tulsa is 9-3 straight up, 8-4 against the spread. What I like about this Tulsa team, the only three games they lost, they got blasted at Ohio State. They lost by a touchdown against the Houston Cougars in Houston, and they lost by 2 points at Navy. So they pretty much killed everyone else besides these upper-tier style programs that they played. And Central Michigan, Steve, man, these are my boys, man, and they have been for a long time. They've always been good to me, but they've been burning money, man. They're 2-7 down the stretch last nine games against the spread.
Yeah, and they really wore down the final month and a half. They went 1-4 straight up in ATS, their final five games of the season. So I think that is why we see a big number here. And like I said, my power ratings made the game 11. It's now 13. I think that's why the price is a little bit more inflated. So there's a little bit of value with the dog. And like I said, I don't like laying big numbers in these minor bowl games. But the one edge for either side is that explosive Tulsa offense. Will the layoff affect them? Probably not, because it hasn't been more than a few weeks.
Yeah, and the total was 69.5 in the morning, and I saw it at 67.5, Steve, right a couple of minutes ago. I like the over this game. Tulsa put up 41.4 points per game. They're going to get into the 40s. Like, they will. That's what they do. You know, they give up 31.5. What's interesting is Cooper Rush is a good quarterback, and generally, you know, the chips, they play that spread offense, and you figure they're going to be able to move the football. But they've only topped they've only topped 30 points once in their last eight games. Their defense has been pretty good. You see Central Michigan, they're scoring 27.7 a game. They're giving up 28.2. So you mentioned their defense isn't bad, but I don't think they're going to be able to slow it down. This is the thing that catches my eye here, though. MAC teams, 0-6 in bowl games, is 8-point dogs or more. And not to mention, the last two times Tulsa were in a bowl game against MAC teams, Steve, they beat them by a combined score 108-20. I want to take the points here, but I teased it. I'll be honest. I teased the favorite to the over, and I played the over straight up. That's what I did with this game, Steve.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with the over. I mean, like I said, big dogs are always worth a look, and the over is always worth a look as well in these meaningless bowl games. And it makes a lot of sense. When neither team cares that much, usually a little bit lackadaisical on defense, that's where the intensity falls off, and you have to have intensity to play good defense. Tulsa, very explosive offensively, very mediocre on defense. I think both teams will get some points. And you're right, the total has not moved. It's been sitting on 67.5 consistent. I was a little surprised we didn't see more over money.
All right, Steve, that's the third time you called it meaningless. You're never going to get an invite from the Miami Beach Bowl Committee, man.
I mean, this one actually isn't totally meaningless. It's in Miami. It's the Bahama Bowls in a couple of days. You know, those games aren't meaningless, I guess. It's those Southern those South Alabama games.
No, this one's pretty bad because a lot of people are still working right now, right? Next week, you get those afternoon games and stuff all day. Like, people are at work right now still. So, like, you know, it's a tough one. But, hey, not too bad. I'll finish this show live at 3 and watch the rest of the game.
And to be honest, every bowl game except for 40 of the 42 bowl games are meaningless when you really think about it. So I guess it's
a big term. Yeah, well, whatever. All these games are meaningless, Steve. They're just bets. You know what I mean?
Right. Some a little bit more than others.
Like when I speak to fighters, big fight, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? They're all big fights. Like, hey, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, two things, guys. For 2017, we need in this studio, all right? We need a damn clock. I look around, I don't know what time it is. Like, it could be the end of the world. You know, the Russians could be invading us right now. I wouldn't know. You know, and got no clock. And we need a damn TV. I'm missing the meaningless Miami Beach Bowl kickoff in a couple of minutes. I want to see the festivities, Steve. So
you missed the pregame show.
Yeah, the pregame show. I don't even think they have a pregame show for the. I think we.
Gabe, you and every Gabe only 300. Everybody but 300 people in the world are missing that bowl game today. So don't feel bad.
No, to be honest, Steve, we are the pregame show. All right.
That's true.
ESPN doesn't have a pregame show for this. They're coming on at 2:30. They're getting off with a preview on the Monday night or immediately after.
We are talking more about this game than any national network in the country in the world.
By far. Yeah. And in fact, probably in the world, actually. I was going to say maybe local Miami TV, but they probably only went to, like, the banquet or something like that, right?
No, they're definitely not covering it. They have the Orange Bowl. So this is a huge meaningless bowl game for Miami, more so than I'm making it out to be.
Steve, tickets for Clemson and what was the Clemson last year in the playoff game? Who'd they play again?
Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, Clemson, Oklahoma. That's it. Yeah, tickets for Clemson, Oklahoma in the Final Four last year, the football semifinal, they were going for $20 in Miami. It costs more to see the Montreal Canadiens play the Panthers in the NHL than it costs to. Like, they don't care about anything there.
Gabe, I went to the January 2001 National Championship, Florida State, Oklahoma, when Oklahoma won 14-2. It set college football back a decade. I went with a bunch of Florida State guys. We flew down there, already had tickets, of course, and got there 3-4 hours before the game. I could have bought several hundred tickets for face value or less in Miami with Florida State playing the national championship. This was 15 years ago. I've told that story a lot of times. Maybe it is Miami. I've always said in general it's just the ticket market now with everything being televised.
I was at the Tim Tebow, Sam Bradford game, Florida versus Oklahoma, which is the biggest hype national championship game ever at the time because, of Bradford and Tebow, et cetera. Same thing, Steve. Tickets, guys were giving tickets away in the parking lot. Like $20, $15. Some guys were like, hey, you need two, take them, like type of deal. It's something. So, all right, quickly on this, then we'll get to the NFL game. The Boca Raton Bowl, you wrote about this in your line watch over at Covers Experts about the over of this game. And the game's rapidly approaching. It's tomorrow, so we'll give it the last kick on the tire here, Steve. I see no reason not to bet the over of this football game.
Yeah, and unfortunately, everybody else hasn't as well. When I put the article out last week, the total was 77.5, and it opened 77. I said keep an eye on it. I thought it would go higher. It was 79 on Friday when we briefly touched on it. And now it's 81 in a lot of spots. Coaching change as well. That'll bring even less intensity. And both teams explosive offensively. Memphis, 39.5 points per game. Western Kentucky, 45 points per game. So alone, they're averaging 84.5. And this total is only 81. As we just talked about, meaningless bowl games have a tendency to be higher scoring than normal. So that's why we see this total climbing higher. I think the odds makers are scared to ever put out a really big number, but 77 was actually too low when it opened.
This one's getting into the 90s, Steve. Memphis has given up 50 or more points like five times, I think, this year.
Right.
And Western Kentucky are, it's true. Jeff Brohm's gone, but I still think that they're still going to click in this game. And Memphis can move the ball. Norvell did a great job coaching there. All right, Steve, so let's jump in. Your Washington Redskins, Steve. Big game tonight for the Skins. They pretty much need to run the table. There's no room for error for these guys. They need to run the table. Although that tie is better than a loss in hindsight, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, of course, it came against the Cincinnati Bengals, a game in which they definitely should have won, and it was a bad team on top of that. So it might come back to bite
them. Yeah, but the Bengals blew that game. Like, the Bengals should have won that game because they screwed me like they always do. But the Bengals, the Skins were lucky to get the draw in that game, to be honest.
True. Yeah, and if the season was to end right now, the Redskins are actually in the playoffs with Tampa Bay losing last night. That pushed the Redskins into one of the two wild card spots as of now. So Washington does control their own destiny. Line hasn't really been adjusted based on that. It was 6.5-7 going into today. It's still standing around there. Cam Newton probable. Luke Kuechly, the star linebacker for the Panthers, might return. He's questionable after missing that with the last month of that concussion. That could change things a bit. I mean, the big question for me still is the Carolina Panthers more than the Redskins. Will they show up? Will they play hard like they did last week against the Chargers? Or will they tank like their last road game at Seattle a couple weeks ago in a primetime spot? The public, by the way, is on Carolina. This is a 50-50 split. With that much of the public on the dog, it's actually a bit of a public underdog tonight. So even though the line looks inflated, the public is actually jumping on the dog here, which gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because it seems, like you said with Carolina, they showed up last week, but Phillip Rivers fell apart early. And I get the feeling it'll be the same thing with Carolina tonight. If things go well early for them, they'll get into it a bit. If things aren't going well for them, I think they tap out, and Cam will be waving that towel that he always puts over his head. Cam Newton's numbers have been terrible. They've been terrible all year. They've been terrible for the last 4 or 5 weeks. He's hit a wall. He's tired of getting hit. I think last week was more of an aberration. I've been a big Carolina Panther backer, Steve, but I think if anything, the Redskins show up and probably blow him out.
And talk about that home road effort difference in the last two games. It's been that way all season. Carolina 4-3 at home this year. They're 1-5 straight up, 1-4-1 against the number on the road. And that Oakland game is actually the only one they really pushed or covered. And even that one, they were trailing 24-7 at halftime a few weeks ago, don't forget. So, Carolina has not been a good road team this year, giving up over 32 points per game away from home, almost 7 yards per play. So even if Kuechly's back in the lineup, you would think that strong Redskin offense will have pretty good success moving the ball.
And, one thing, Kuechly's a big difference. So why was he crying and making a big deal for? I mean, the guy's back in 2 weeks. Well, Kuechly's hurt.
I don't think he even knew. He claims he didn't even know he was crying, so, which is kind of scary, actually, if that's really true. I mean, but we'll see.
We should note the Redskins have been horrible on Monday Night Football. They're 0-5 straight up and against the spread the last 5 times at home on Monday Night Football. I remember they got tattooed in week one, the first opening night against the Steelers this year. Just 2-13 in this stadium on Monday nights, which is unbelievable. Monday Night Football's gone over 6 straight weeks, though, Steve. That's something to keep your eye on there.
Well, we talk about it all the time. The Sunday, Monday night games for the last couple seasons have been pretty good overplays in general. Last night missed out by just 1.5 points.
Yeah, that game pissed me off last night, Steve, because I had to see the over.
That's one of the many reasons the NFL ruined my Sunday.
Yeah, you know what? Like, and you know what sucks, Steve? When we got the turnover, when it was 23-20 at midfield, I'm thinking, all right, boom. You guys kick a field goal, we're good. It's right. At 46, we're in. We got it. But of course
Any score there would have forced overtime or cashed the over right away. Same thing with the Southern Miss. That was the game I lost Saturday. I had the over there. It was 28-21. All I needed was a little late touchdown to force overtime.
Oh, Steve, you want to get sick in that game? I had a teaser. Lafayette plus 13.5, over 49.5.
Right. And missed 28-21. Missed it by 1.5, yeah. It's just, the lines have been tight. I had the Chargers yesterday plus 2.5, plus 3. So half my clients pushed, half lost. Missed extra point. Would have been 2 otherwise. You know, it's just how things have been going. The lines are tight this time of year. But the Redskins' home record, though, a little misleading. Obviously, those games are, with different players.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're 4-2 this year. I think they were 6-2 last year. So what's that, 10-4 now at home the last two seasons? Cousins has actually been a very good quarterback at home recently.
Yeah, I like Cousins, actually. I want him to be a Buffalo Bill next year. So quickly, before we get you out of here, Steve, it's funny. It's something that Kyle Turley told me when Turley was on the Saints. They were like 0-10, 0-12, et cetera. And I said, so what's the deal, man? The last month, you're 0-12. And he goes, there's a saying in the NFL, once you're eliminated from the playoffs, for who and for what? And We're seeing that across the board. And it's funny, there's a guy in the Jets the other day. A guy went on Instagram and talked about, F this game. Season's over for us. 3 weeks left in the Jets. And we've seen the Jets tap out. We've seen San Francisco tap out. And we've seen Carolina tap out 2 weeks ago on the road. So that's what I'm saying. If things go bad for them, they'll tap out. They don't do it like for betting purpose. They don't want to get hurt. They're like, screw this. I'm not doing this, man, for these guys. Like, my contract's not guaranteed. Screw them. Season's over. Really got to keep your eye on that down the stretch here.
Plus, it's even more so for a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. Carolina wasn't just playing to make the playoffs this year. They were playing to win the whole thing.
Exactly. So they just want to get the hell out of here. You don't think they just want to go home? Newton's like, screw this. I just want to get out of here, man.
I mean, look at a team like Cleveland that's 0-14. They're going to still play hard, actually, more than ever, because they don't want to be a winless team. So, yeah, you got to look at it, a game-by-game situation, a team-by-team. But I think when a good team is having a bad season, like the Cardinals, we saw them lose yesterday, the Panthers, those are the type of teams you got to be very careful with. The Broncos are almost in that spot as well now, although they still have something to play for, I guess, technically. If they lose this week, though, week 17, I'd be very careful with a team like Denver.
Injuries hurt the Broncos too much. Cardinals are trying. They're just not very good. That's what that comes down to. We got to get out of here, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. Jason Braddock joins us from Texas. We'll talk about the QB situation and more. We got Tony Sincotta coming up, too. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. And Jordy Nelson drops that pass yesterday. I wouldn't need 22 points tonight coming into a fantasy matchup. And I was cruising along yesterday, man. Like, the Arizona Cardinals, like, really? Like, yeah, great, great freaking defensive effort yesterday, man. Like, just, God, like, seriously. I don't even know what to say anymore, man. Screw you, Lord Gambler. Screw you. Let's bring in the Tony Cincata joining us right now. Not via Skype, because I thought Tony was joining us later. So did he. He joins us right now, but that's how we operate. What's up, Tony?
Oh, yeah, we're quick. Things happen, and you just get ready and go. You know, well, here's the thing. You know, we got the whole Christmas week coming up. People get their mind elsewhere. But we're here to deliver the fantasy information, the betting information, make people richer so they don't eat ramen noodles on Christmas.
I like that. I like that, Tony. So, in all honesty, do you think that there's opportunity around the holidays right now? Because I cover the fight game. And I tell you, there's often, champions often lose around the holidays, right? There's always the distractions. And people have more distractions than athletes do, even with their day-to-day lives around the holidays. Do you see a weakness? Are you going to come in like a vulture while everyone's drinking wine and eating turkey? You're going to be nailing them, Tony.
Well, especially, you know, I'm looking forward to that NBA on Christmas Day, right? Because all of a sudden, you know, the guy's trying to put in their DFS lineup, and his wife's bitching at him, honey, we got to go to Uncle Billy's.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Uncle Billy's, because we live in 2016, so you never know. And the whole thing is, you're on the way
what,
there.
What are you saying, Tony? You're going to go see Uncle Bill and Uncle Frank, right?
Yes, yes, right. So anything can happen these days. Now, one of the things is, so people put it in, people, you know, have a couple drinks, the eggnog's flowing. Yeah, you could take advantage, absolutely. And people love to sit down. All the people that win NFL money this week, they're going to win NFL money. They're going to say, oh, I got all this money in my account. It's Christmas Day. There's no football except for that one game. I'll try basketball. That's why it's always good to get in the lower dollar tournaments after people get paid off.
All right, so let's jump in as far as tonight is concerned. Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. Like I just said earlier, I hope he's on the Buffalo Bills next year. He won't be, but I think he's the exact type of quarterback that we need. But his props are 24.5. It's 290.5 passing yards. Last five games, Cousins only gone over 24.5 completions once. He does throw the ball down the field, though, so you got a better shot of getting the yards than you do the completions. Last five games, he's only topped 290 twice. But he came close another time. Like I said, they are very aggressive. Panthers, worst pass defense in the league right now, ranked 32nd, giving up 272.5 passing yards a game. What's your quick take on Cousins tonight?
Yeah, that's the thing. I love him over the 290 tonight because all of those three matches prior to this were all teams that didn't play the run well. So Kelly got more of an opportunity than he'll get tonight. Tonight, he'll get 40-plus attempts in this game.
You know what, and Tony, you love it when I bet unders because, like you said, and Cardano too, everybody only takes overs, right, all the time in the prop world,
yep,
in the fantasy world. They want to think for positivity. And I, you know, I'm generally an over guy, but how about this? I saw the rushing prop, Rob Kelly tonight, 70.5 rushing yards. Say what? They don't run the ball. Get this. Has only topped this number three times all year, and he did it 3 weeks in a row. Like a month ago, last two games, he's put up exactly 63 in both, 37 in the other, and they got the same number for Jonathan Stewart, 70.5. He's only gone over this number three times all year, too. He has less than 70 yards rushing in five of his last six games. I like the under in both running back props tonight.
I like the Kelly one a lot better. I think today you'll see more Chris Thompson in the game than Kelly in this contest tonight. So I think you can use him from a fantasy angle. Thompson, if you're going to play Monday, Thursday. And I like unders in both those. You'll be all set. You're raking it in tonight, baby.
Yeah, how about, and you see, you like Thompson tonight. I saw a number with Thompson. Total rushing and receiving yards combined, 35.5. You think he catches a few out of the backfield?
Oh, yeah, I really think it sets up nice against this defense for a pass-catching back. And he could get 20-plus yards in one catch. So, yeah, I would absolutely go over the total there.
All right, let's talk about how bad Cam Newton's been, man. How about this? Cam Newton's props, 19.5, seems low. Might as well be 99.5. 240.5 passing yards. These are Cam's, this is his straights from the last four games. 14-33, 14-29. 14-32. Hell, last week they won and he was 10-27. Four straight games with 14 completions or less. You know, the guy hasn't completed more than 48% of his passes in like 5 weeks, Tony. Cam Newton's just beaten down, man. He's had enough this year.
I totally agree. I was the biggest Cam Newton basher last year. I was so opposed to him winning the most valuable player. He completed 57% of his passes, which put him in the bottom four of the league. If you're a quarterback and you're the fourth worst in the NFL in completing passes, how can you be the most valuable player? You can't even do your job. In defense of Newton this year, he's had a hurt shoulder. He wasn't that good to begin with passing the ball. Now trying to do it injured, not working out. It's a dismal effort. It's not a great Washington defense, but I think they rise to the occasion. Cam Newton, I do not like in this contest at all tonight.
So I wanted to get your take on the MVP in a second, but as far as the contest, so tonight, Monday, Thursday, what do you like? Who do you like tonight?
I'm going Washington heavy tonight. Now, I'm going to go Chris Thompson in the backfield. I'm going to use Jonathan Stewart because I think they try to run the ball with the Cam Newton situation there. Then I'm going to pair up DeSean Jackson and Jamison Crowder. I'm going to go with Greg Olsen, though, at the tight end because of the injury to Jordan Reed. I don't know what we're going to get from last week. We only got the one catch, 10 yards, so I'm a little concerned in there. I think the defense, we go to the Giants who play on Thursday night, and you got to put Odell Beckham in. He's $3,000 more than any other wide receiver. But I just see it's too good of a matchup. The Philadelphia secondary lets up big plays, and this is a big play wide receiver. So I'm playing heavy in this contest and very little on Thursday's contest. I take the Giants defense and Beckham. The rest all come from the Redskins, and with the exception of Greg Olsen.
Yeah, Matt Stafford said after the game that the Giants secondary was the best secondary that he's seen all year. And,
yep.
Stafford can read secondaries. He said they confused us. He was honest. He said they confused me. Our guys recovered. He said, that's the best secondary. Like, what happened? They asked him what happened after. He said, they were just good. Like, it was a problem for us. We had a hard time. Like, we had a hard time completing passes. On the way out of here, Tony, I remember last year you and I argued about Cam Newton. And you said he sucked. I was like, how can you say he sucks? But I was on WEEI yesterday in Boston. They asked me about the most valuable player, debate for this year. And really, there's no more debate. I mean, we'll see if the media jackasses don't want to vote for a guy that was suspended or not. But Tom Brady is the most valuable player in the NFL.
I'm going elsewhere. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I really think this team, with no running game and no defense to speak of, he's going to run the table. People were ready to give up on this Green Bay team. He put them on his back, threw the ball 50 times a game. Playing with one leg, Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player in 2016.
The Tony Sincata. Always a pleasure, Tony.
You're the man.
Next time we'll do Skype. Yeah, we didn't have the heart to tell you, but they were like, no, it's too early in the day to see Sincata. We're doing phone only. He's not there now? Hey, give him a chance for a response. All right, Jason Braddock. Is he on Skype? Nope. All right, he joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morencio. All right, let's send it to Houston, Texas, where the Super Bowl is. What is it? Is it Super Bowl 51 or 52 this year? 51. Super Bowl 51 in Houston, Texas. I was actually in Houston, Texas at the Super Bowl. It was the Janet Jackson Nipplegate game. Last time they were there, it was the Patriots and the Panthers. The Patriots could be there. The Panthers won't be there. Jason Braddock will be, and he's here right now. What's up, Jason?
Gabe, how's it going?
Always a pleasure, my man. Always a pleasure catching up with you. I know you're busy, so thanks for taking the time to be with us. The call was finally made yesterday, and clearly Twitter blew up. The stadium blew up as well. And it's funny because the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in town. When he comes off the bench and leads the team to victory, and he's always the most popular guy in town until he's the starter and people realize why he was the backup in the first place, Jason.
Yeah, this is something that needed to happen. Brock Osweiler, you're talking about at this point, the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this year. So yeah. You needed to make a change to see what you had in Tom Savage. Bill O'Brien handpicked Tom Savage his first year here, went to his pro day, put him through the workout. And I said in the preseason that, you know, Savage looked like the better quarterback. When they played each other in the preseason the previous year, Savage outperformed Brock Osweiler, and it had become apparent that Savage needed to get an opportunity, at least show what he can do. I mean, if he goes out there and he's not successful, it's really no harm, no foul at this point, because Osweiler has been that bad.
You know what? We just had up on our screen Ian Rappaport. What was that? He reports that it would not be a major surprise if Tom Savage takes over. Wow, Ian Rappaport's really going out on a limb here. Right? It wouldn't be a major. No, yeah, no kidding. He just came in and threw a couple. He just came in and led him to victory there, Rappaport. Yeah, a major surprise. See, how O'Brien is saying that we'll see how they look in practice this week. But the fact that this game's in Houston, you know, they really don't have a choice but to start Tom Savage against the Bengals, right?
Yeah, you can't go backwards at this point. I mean, let's remember what Brock Osweiler did last year.
He got pulled in week 15 last year, too, didn't he?
And he pouted. He got benched for a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he pouted.
Yeah.
So now what's going to happen? You're going to bench him for a fourth round, his backup quarterback, and you think he's going to handle it well? And it always makes me laugh to see the media talk about, oh, he's handling it so classy, he's answering all the questions. We've already seen what Brock Osweiler is. Peyton Manning guided him on how to interact with the media. So he's always going to say everything right to the media, do everything right. But we've seen what he's like behind the scenes. He wouldn't re-sign with Denver last year, and we all know the truth. He said it was for other reasons, blah, blah, blah. The thing was, he was upset with him because he got benched.
Yeah, he was upset with Kubiak, and you're right about that. And you know, when we look back in hindsight, it's easy to say, but Brock Osweiler is about Brock Osweiler, isn't he? And, you know, what
absolutely.
Did the Denver Broncos cultivated him. They paid him. They groomed him in to make that money, and he left them in a lurch. You're right. You know, and it wasn't about the money and stuff like that. I think they dodged a bullet right there. But I would say, too, there's no sympathy here. You know, he's getting $17 million this year and next year, right? Or 37 through 2 years, 18 and a half or whatever the hell it is. And they're on the hook next year, so we can't get ahead of ourselves. But what's your guess? What can they do with this? They're stuck with them for another year unless somebody bites, but no one's going to take this contract.
Yeah, but let's be honest. It's the way the NFL salary cap's set up now, it seems like it's going up 10 to 15 million every year. I joked on the post game show yesterday that the NFL's given the Texans an Osweiler roster bump. So, I mean, you have this built in cushion with the salary cap inflation every year that it softens the blow of missing on these free agent prospects. And, yeah. I mean, like you said, every week he gets a check direct deposit into his account, I imagine, for $1 million, whether he's playing or whether on the bench.
Dear God.
You can't feel sorry for the guy. I mean, sit over there with your $1 million, pull up your cell phone, run around NRG Stadium and play Pokemon Go. Do whatever you have to do to keep yourself entertained with your $1 million a week. Just don't play quarterback.
Jason Braddock with us. You know what? J.J. Watt was on the sideline for the first time, but you know who did make a big play? Lost in it was the fact that Clowney's actually balling right now. He got a sack, three tackles for losses. You know, he stepped up with a couple of big tackles. Better late than never getting production from him.
Yeah, I mean, he had that microfracture surgery his rookie season, and every player I talk to says it takes 2 years to come back from that before they start feeling like themselves again. Well, he's just now getting to that point where he's 2 years removed from that microfracture surgery. So we're starting to see, health-wise, him being able to go out there and do what we all always thought he could do when he was the number one pick in the draft. Here's the scary thing, though, technique-wise, He's still not even close to his ceiling. He's getting better. I think we're still another year or two away before we see what Clowney really can become, and that's scary.
Yeah. And, you know, the jury sort of already decided, oh, bust, because, you know, he's sort of forgotten about. But like you said, the injury was a serious one. All right, we only got 2 minutes here. So quickly on this, how do you think this plays out? Because the Titans keep winning right now. You know, their schedule favorable. They get Jacksonville, and then they got the showdown to wrap up the season. How do you think it plays out? Is it going to be Houston or Tennessee in the playoffs?
I think if you go with Savage, yeah, I know that sounds crazy going with the backup guy, but if you go with Savage, I think they win that game against Tennessee, and they make the playoffs, and you have a chance of winning the first round. If you go with Osweiler, you lose in Tennessee, and you don't make the playoffs.
I wish
it's that simple.
I wish we had more time because I wanted to talk to you about Jeremy Hill's out of the bowl game. Now McCaffrey's out of the bowl game to prep for the draft, and I'm not going to crucify these kids because these jackass coaches bolt before the bowl games all the time after stressing loyalty all year long. But it's a problem, and I hold it against them, actually. Like, if I was a coach, like, it doesn't diminish their talent, in my opinion. But if I'm a coach, I'm thinking, I don't know, man. If he's doing this now, he's thinking of himself now. He'll be thinking of himself when he's in the NFL as well. Like, it rubs me the wrong way. Call me old-fashioned, Jason, but it bothers me.
Yeah, I'd rather see him in the bowl game against different competition just for personal reasons, to be able to evaluate the tape. And I do question not being there for your teammates and everything.
Exactly.
Leonard Fournette, now Christian McCaffrey.
Exactly. And what about your teammates? It's just, the world's screwed, man. We're going in the wrong direction. All right. Braddock for president. Always a pleasure, Jason.
Hey, I'll run on a platform of craziness that seems to get you elected.
Always a pleasure. I'd do well if you just have to be crazy. Then I could be prime minister too. All right, we're going to come back with our plays of the day. All right, we're taking a page from a good friend of mine, Scotty Farrell, and we're shaking things up. Here, shake it up. Washington Redskins. You guys know me, man. Usually I bet on the Panthers. Not tonight. I'm not. I like this game better on a teaser, but ultimately I think the Redskins are probably going to win by 10 or 14. I think they'll eventually wear out Carolina. It might be close for the first quarter, the first half, but I think Washington will pull away. So we're going to lay the points with the Skins. We're going to tease this game to the over. Now, this is not a typo, because the guys that do our graphics would never make a mistake. But I just wanted to say, because, hey, Morenci, you never bet on unders. But I'm going under. Cam Newton, under 19.5 completions. Jonathan Stewart, under 70.5 rushing yards. He's only gone over 70.5 three times. Cam Newton, man, 19, man. The guy's lucky to complete like 10 passes over the last month. Rob Kelly, are you kidding me? 70.5, too high. Under. We do have a couple overs, though. Kirk Cousins, over 290.5 passing yards. Here's a fantasy football prop over at Bookmaker. Kirk Cousins, -1 against Cam Newton, love it. And some NBA basketball. Wizards putting together right now. Wizards +6 on the road. I like it. Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. I'm very good with Thunder games. If you notice, they're going to beat the Hawks tonight. And we wrap it up with the Mavs and the Nuggets over the number. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.